Sounds good to me, Donald Trump said when asked whether there might be U.S. action in Colombia to remove its leader, Gustavo Petro, whom he described as a sick man. Come get me, Mr. Petro has since retorted, the former leftist guerrilla saying he might take up arms again. Colombia is just one of several countries potentially in an apparently emboldened Donald Trump's sights following the capture of the Venezuelan leader, Nicolas Maduro. They include Cuba, which the US president says is ready to fall. John Bonfilio is a Latin American correspondent based in Mexico. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning.
John, Cuba is arguably the nation which has suffered the biggest blow from Nicolas Maduro's removal. Just explain the close ties between Venezuela and Cuba.
Yeah, the Trump administration's line on Cuba is that they believe it is ready to fall. And socially and economically, they may well be right. Politically is another matter, given the grip that the Communist Party continues to have on the island. The reason that Venezuela and Cuba are so closely linked, of course, is politically. They have sort of famously have sort of hard socialist communist regimes. But in particular, it relates to the support that Venezuela has given to Cuba with subsidized fuel over the period of the last generation. And of course, as of a month ago, when the so-called quarantine, the embargo on Venezuelan oil took place, that fuel has already dried up. And then you multiply that by the fact that Cuba was already on a cliff edge with a devastated economy, huge external migration, and almost nobody left alive who remembers the motivations for the 1959 revolution, which is now a history piece. And Cuba is, very distinctly at a point of inflection, I think.
The former vice president, of course, Delcy Rodriguez, has now been formally sworn in as Venezuela's interim president. Do you think she's going to offer any support to Havana?
It's an interesting political trade-off that Delcy Rodriguez, if she is going to toe the line, as is currently expected with the United States, is going to have to give up an awful lot. There's not very much which Cuba can offer her that would make Cuban support particularly important for Venezuela. So it's very possible that of the things that she gives up, the support for Cuba is likely to be top amongst that list.
And turning to another country in the region, we alluded to it there, Colombia. Do you think U.S. action in Colombia is likely?
This is fascinating because one of the things which especially irked Trump about Maduro was actually Maduro's rhetorical pushback, which we saw a little bit also at the hearing in New York on Monday. And now that Maduro's gone, the next greatest point of resistance in this regard is Colombia's president Gustavo Petro, who not only criticized the action that took place in Venezuela and sort of drew it out as an action against Latin America as a whole, but also has been directly goading Trump. Petro famously was once a guerrilla, leftist guerrilla himself. He renounced violence, but on Monday, he said that in the case of any U.S. action, he would once again pick up a weapon. Colombia, of course, is the world's largest producer of cocaine, but Petro is not in any way, as Trump alleges, involved in cocaine production, but all of which makes the chances of, I wouldn't necessarily say a military strike into Colombia, but ongoing focus on what Trump regards as the Colombian problem, I think is fairly definite and inevitable.
There are reports that Nicolas Maduro was offered some kind of deal. Perhaps he could have found sanctuary in Turkey, for example. Do you think the Trump administration would consider some kind of offer like that to get rid of Gustavo Petro?
I think what's interesting now is we can't undo what took place over the weekend. And Trump knows it and the world knows it. So he has those actions and he has those consequences now as leverage. So any sort of quid pro quos that might have been offered prior to Saturday, the 3rd of January, are now very unlikely. Now the U.S. administration, as we see across the airwaves, as we see with Greenland as well, very presently in the international news cycle, now the administration's sort of focus and leverage is entirely about saying, you do what we want or else.
I suppose another way he might try and influence Colombia would be to get involved in some way in the elections coming up later this year. Tell us how much you think that is likely.
Yeah, almost certainly. And actually, I think it's important to note that if we that seeing the U.S. action in Venezuela as the first U.S. engagement in the sort of new Monroe Doctrine and radical reshaping of the Americas is something of a mistake. What we sort of have to realize is that this new administration wants to place the hemisphere in its economic service. It's exclusively a matter of sort of extractivist profit for American companies, and that Trump has already will and interchangeably use political and economic and military might in order to achieve this. And we've been seeing this throughout the course of the last 12 months. It's just that the world has suddenly woken up to the stark action that took place 72 hours ago and suddenly thinks that this is a whole different ball game that we're engaged in. But actually, for anybody paying attention in the Americas for the last few months, it's been fairly clear which way this is already going. An electoral interference, in inverted commas, if you like, has undoubtedly been one of the strategies.
Very tense times, I'm sure, there in the region. John Bonfilio, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge.
No problem. Take care.